Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I would like to invite you to take out Bibles in front of you if you don't have them, or your Bibles that are with you. This is an exciting day, and we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 21. And really, the title of this message was inspired by something one of those that are getting baptized said to me. And his phrase was, "It's all new to me. It's all brand new to me. All this is new. Please forgive me. I can't put it into the right words." And I wanted to invite one of our brothers ahead of time. Brandon was walking down the road here about, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 8 years, 9 years ago. And Tanya and I invited him into our home, and he stayed for 5 minutes, and then he said, "I got to go." And then Brandon started hanging around the church. He would come in the foyer for a few minutes and then leave. And then on Wednesday nights, he would stay for dinner and then leave. Then he would stay for the whole dinner. And then in the course of so many years, he would stay for the Bible study. And then in these last months, God did a dramatic thing. I'm going to have a pray for me this morning. But now Brandon is worried if he sees cars in the lot, if he's missed something. He's been here every Sunday, every Wednesday. And I want to invite you to come at the beginning here to share a little bit of your testimony, just in its form of simplicity of what you had shared with me. Yep, it's about 10 seconds, and that's all we need. So would you like to give him a hand as he comes up? So Brandon did not want to write his out, and I said, "Well, how about if we do an interview style?" And we don't know what we're going to get into today, but yeah, he's West Virginia in swimming trunks, ready to go. So Brandon, I wanted to ask you, how do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die?
Jesus Christ died for my sins and was buried and returned.
Yes, amen. And when we talk about Jesus Christ, what was the circumstances that surrounded when you came to Christ? What's happened in your life?
I just feel a lot better, and I've been able to get the willpower to quit smoking. And I've tested around a little bit, tested myself with it to make sure I wasn't still addicted, and I'm not. So,
amen. And you said that there's... You put it in these words, that somebody was sitting on your shoulder, and now when he does something wrong or sins, he feels somewhat... What was the word you used?
I think I used the word Jiminy Cricket, like him.
Yes, Brandon said, "It's like Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder, and I feel convicted, and I feel something going on inside." So let's give him a hand for sharing that today. And you can go have a seat. Brandon said it's all brand new. And it is all brand new. And when we look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, I want to read verses 14 on down. But listen closely to these words. These are the words from God Himself spoken to us. He says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so as we go through this passage, there are four things that are brand new in someone's life when they give their life to Jesus. And I'm just going to go quickly. This is not going to be a normal long sermon. And some of you are saying, yeah, right, Pastor Mike. Trust me, those famous last words. But we have a new kind of loving master. He says the love of Christ controls us. And then he mentions this whole idea that everybody dies and everybody rises. And that word control means to hold together, to keep the pieces from falling apart. When Jesus Christ comes in our life and he makes us brand new, he holds us together, he presses us together in his hand. And then he gives, there's a few illustrations in the Greek. It's like a besieged city or a strait that forces a ship into a narrow channel. It's like the cattle. Those of you that have cattle, you squeeze them in a small area so that you can administer the medication that they need. That's what Christ does for us. When our lives are falling apart and things around us are falling apart, his love draws us and puts us in the place so that he can fix us and make us what we were meant to be. And in this text, you see the picture of death. That Christ died and we died. Christ rose and we rose. And so why are followers of Jesus baptized in water, you might wonder today. That's this picture. Because going under the water symbolizes our identification that Jesus Christ died and we died to our old ways and our old habits. In other words, we declare, I am done with sin because of what Jesus has done in my life. And then the burial is Christ's burial, and then the resurrection symbolizes our identification with Christ's resurrection, that we have new life. And I love that picture and of resurrection. This is just another Eskimo baptism that went bad up in Eskimo land. I put this with the kids, and they loved it. And then last year, I put the heater in the baptismal tank, and it is kind of hot. I think last we checked it was 100 and something degrees. But last year when we got in, it was jacuzzi warm. And that's a sign the church is kind of missing the point of baptism. And I told my wife, I said, well, you know, I would like new water in here. But what if I just refilled that and stuck that in here and just on Monday came in here and just sat in the hot tub. But we have a new kind of master, Jesus Christ. New kind of master. Number two, he also changes our way of thinking, how we look at things. And that's what Brandon was trying to put into words. Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder. What used to be right is now wrong. Because we're convicted of our sin. We think about our sin in the way God does and the way he prescribes it in his word. And he noticed there, he says, we don't regard Christ in the flesh any longer. And then in the end of verse 14, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who died and rose again for us. So believers in Jesus don't think of anyone according to the flesh anymore, nor Christ. Believers in Christ now think through the lens of I'm dying to my sin and I'm rising to Jesus Christ with new life. And so when we focus on Christ, our thoughts start to change. Brandon, our attitudes start to change. Our actions, our words, everything about us starts to change because it's all brand new. It is a miracle that God does in our lives. We don't do it, God does it. When you take a shower, how many take a shower and put on your old work clothes that you worked in all week? Some of you might raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Just save yourself the embarrassment. There's some that do that. My brother would do that. He would wear dirty clothes. But why do we put on clean clothes? Because in a sense, our bodies are clean. The inside is clean. And so we put clean clothes on the outside. And that's the same thing. When Jesus Christ moves in our lives and he gives us a new life, we believe in him. And those that are getting baptized, we're clean on the inside, and now we want to change on the outside. And that's what Brandon was talking about. You know, I was clean for a month from smoking. He no longer wanted to serve that and be controlled by that in his life. God didn't. God did it. And, you know, quitting smoking cigarettes is probably one of the hardest things to do. It really is. It's a tough stronghold and an addiction. And it's hard to put down and quit. But only God, only God's power can truly change a life. And it doesn't matter what you're dealing with in your life. And we all have different things. He cleans us on the inside. He wants to clean the outside. And this is usually what we do when we come to Christ is, well, Charles, everything that goes under belongs to God, so he holds his money above still. We want to hang on to something else controlling us in our lives. But that's not the way it is. When Jesus makes it brand new, he makes it brand new. And number three, that's why he says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. So in the Greek, that word new is not in time or recent, but new in form or quality or a total different nature. Now, in order for that to happen, that takes a supernatural miracle. When we are dead in our sins, we're born into sin, it doesn't matter how good you try to be, we are totally depraved and we have the capability of committing the worst and the foulest sins, and we have. But because of Jesus Christ coming in our lives, he changes that nature. He says, I'm going to take your heart of stone, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to move you to obey my commandments. It is a creation, the act of creating. It's a creative process that God makes us new. And that's why baptisms are such a celebration. Before salvation, we're like the radios with one radio channel. We come to Christ, we have another radio channel, but you have to tune into the radio channel. We have a new nature in Jesus Christ, but we have to choose to participate, as our brother read this morning, in the divine nature, in the newness, in the righteousness that Jesus Christ has given us. Will you tune your radio? And if you don't, you'll never hear the music of a new creation in Jesus Christ. Now, this is me going to the doctor, and I'm willing to make lifestyle changes as long as I don't have to do anything different. But if God changes our very nature, does not that change the direction of our lives? It is a miracle of God, and he's done that for those getting baptized, and he can do it for you as well. So that you want to change because of the work of Jesus Christ. And then the last thing he leaves us, and I want to invite those that if you're getting baptized today, if you need to change your clothes, to go ahead and go do that right at this moment, right now. So if you still haven't changed, and then I'll invite you all, if you're getting baptized, to come to these front chairs here. But think about this. We've been given a new mission. He says, we're reconciling the world. We're being given a ministry of reconciliation, it says in verse 18. We're reconciled. In other words, that word is to change or exchange from becoming an enemy to a friend of God. And God does that. When God declares us righteous in Him, when God makes us right with Him, we go from being an enemy to God to His friend. And He's given us that same ministry of preaching the gospel to everyone we come in contact with. This new mission is the mission of reconciliation. And notice how he says there, in order to be on this mission, it says in the end of verse 19, that's God not counting their trespasses against them, but has entrusted us to the message of reconciliation. Now, how many of you have still used checkbooks? All right, that's good. How many balance their checkbooks? Less hands have gone up. It would be me included if my wife had not taken charge over that area of our home. Because when I go to balance the checkbook, there's always something missing. There's always something that doesn't come up right. Either something I didn't record or something that I over-recorded. And so, it's like a little man just ran by here this morning. He made it right. He made it right to your seat. When God talks about reconciliation, We had a debt of sin, right? Our checkbook was not balanced. But because Jesus died in our place as a substitute, or the Bible calls this the big theological word, propitiation, He dies in our place for our sins to make the bank account even. Because He pays for our sins. He reconciles us to God, and God says, "You are my friend." And He wants to be your friend today. The Holy Spirit is working on your heart today. I encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ and confess that He did indeed die for your sins in your place and rise again from the grave. So why do we need this good news about Jesus Christ? It's because we're separated from God by our sin and our uneven banking account. And Jesus reconciles us to God. And the good news is that Jesus died over 2,000 years ago in our place for our sins. He was buried and He rose again, just as the baptism is going to show us today. And as we look at baptism today, baptism is for those that believe in this message. Those that the Holy Spirit has changed and transformed from the inside, and so that they want to show on the outside what God has done in their hearts. And so you say, well, how do we respond to this? Jesus did a great work for us. We respond by believing and receiving the free gift. We do absolutely nothing except receive the gift that God has given us. And that can only be done through the power of the Spirit. And we confess the truth of Jesus, and as a result, we're not baptized to be saved, we're baptized because we're saved. We're baptized because Jesus did a new work in our lives. And so true believers in Jesus Christ get baptized because they're obeying Jesus Christ. It's commanded in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit today. And this one's just for Kathy Anastasio, since she loves cats. Trouble in cat church today, just for a little bit of fun. But this is a baptismal that is found in Israel. When Tanya and I went to Israel, it's called a mikveh bath. And people would get baptized for all kinds of things, for symbolically washing away their sins. But we get baptized today. Whoops. So hopefully, Wyatt, you won't be saying this after the baptism when people whip out their cameras today. We're commanded to do as followers of Jesus is a baptism into the name of Jesus. It's a public testimony that we've received the good news about Jesus. It's saying, I'm with Him. I'm a follower of Him. And I shared with the kids in their class and the older adults, in Muslim countries, when a Muslim converts to Christianity, they don't make a big deal about it. But when they get baptized, their family shuns them, disowns them, and they might get killed. Why? Because they're publicly saying, I am no longer following this false God. I'm following the one and only true Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And so it's a declaration that I am with Him. Jesus says, anyone that acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So when you get baptized today, you say, I am with Jesus Christ today. So this is the exciting part now. I'm going to invite those that are getting baptized and to come up. And before we do that, we have a special song prepared for one of our baptismal candidates. And so the O'Briens are going to be sharing a special music with us.
pleasures of men.
This is the exciting part, and I'm going to ask them to come and share their testimonies one at a time, and pray for me. I have to stand next to them because it just touches my heart so much, and so praise God. So since we'll start, would you like to start today? No? Who's going to start? Everybody's pointing to the next person. See, Brandon already went, so somebody went first, so... Come on, Wyatt. Come on. Yeah.